8 amazing tax deductions for real estate investors. That's today's show. Let's dive in. Hey, freedom fighters. I am Clayton Morris, and we're fighting for financial freedom. Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show. I am your humble host. This is the show where we teach you how to build passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family so you can spend more time with your family. That's the ultimate goal, is that you want to be able to sit comfortably, peacefully with your family and not be worried about money all the time, knowing that you've got passive income pouring into your house. That is the goal, my friends. And the vehicle that we use is buy and hold real estate. So on today's show, we're going to talk about 8 different tax deductions that real estate investors can take advantage of. And this is all predicated on my tax accountant, one of the great tax accountants for real estate in the country. And we'll have a link in the show notes to Provision Wealth's website, because I get this question a lot from people that say, I don't know if I want to, I have an accountant, he doesn't really understand real estate, should I get a new accountant? Yes, you absolutely should. So we work with that great team, and they have educated us over the years to all of the incredible tax benefits that you can have as a result of real estate investing. And one thing that you've heard me say here on the show many times, but I'm going to say it again, something that Tom Wheelwright, the greatest tax accountant in the country, Robert Kiyosaki's real estate tax accountant, one of the things that he likes to say is that if you invest in real estate and you're paying taxes, then you're doing it wrong. If you're a real estate investor, you shouldn't be paying anything in taxes. Why? Because it's an incredible tax shelter. And all of the ways in which you can claim these deductions prohibit you from the net income, or the income from the rental properties coming back in the form of that you're going to end up paying taxes on. So all of these deductions can offset the money that's coming in from your tenants. And smart real estate investors know that, and they play this game. So we're going to go through 8 very special tax deductions today for real estate investors. And I've got my handy little list here. Let's start with number 1, depreciation. Of course, we have a whole show devoted to depreciation. So please check out the full show. So I'm not going to go into great detail about depreciation, but number 1 on the list is depreciating the property. Over a couple of decades, you are allowed to depreciate that asset. It's the government basically saying, hey, we realize that there's going to be wear and tear on this particular property, and we are going to allow that to offset the income that you're making from the tenants paying rent on this property. Depreciation is one of the greatest wealth builders in U.S. history. That, along with, I believe, the 1031 exchange, is another fantastic wealth building mechanism. But depreciating your assets, depreciating them properly, making sure that you're claiming the proper depreciation on these assets. And if you've got many properties, and if you've got multifamily properties, fourplexes and beyond, also you really want to dive deep into cost segregation. I'm going to do a whole show deep diving cost segregation, and we're going to have some guests here joining us to talk about cost segregation. But what that means is, cost segregation allows you to depreciate pieces of the property, not just the whole property. Cost segregating, breaking them out, meaning I could now depreciate the roof separately. I can depreciate certain things inside of the property separately. And therefore, I could add an additional 6 to 7% depreciation to my properties and creating an even bigger tax shelter for my real estate portfolio. So number 1 on the list is depreciation. Number 2 on the list is travel. Whether you've got properties in the Bahamas or you've got properties in your own backyard, it really doesn't matter. But when you take into account your travel expenses to go to the state of Florida and, visit your rental properties or just drive by, have meetings with individuals about your rental properties, it doesn't matter. Your travel expenses for your business that own these properties is also a great tax deduction. Now, obviously, don't go crazy, but within reason, of course, the IRS will accept the fact that you are, if you're buying a 50-unit apartment complex somewhere, or you're going to want to visit that particular property at some point. And even if you're not visiting that property necessarily, it's the travel expenses that you would incur in your car driving to and from your attorney's office locally. It doesn't even have to be in the town where the rental properties are located. As you know, almost every property I own, I've never seen with my own eyes. But I've also traveled multiple times in the state of New Jersey where I currently live, back and forth to our accountant's office, to our bookkeepers, to the bank. All of those travel expenses add up. Those are expenses that you can write off against the income from your rental property. Number three is your vehicle. If you use your vehicle, you are able to write off a percentage of that vehicle purchase in order to offset, again, your tenant's income. So three is a vehicle. So they kind of go hand in hand, travel and your vehicle. And now, of course, we want to take into account the mileage expense. So you can also, if you're paying gas, take a look at that mileage expense. And that is also an additional write-off for your business. Number four is meals and entertainment. Now, I meet with a ton of investors, and it doesn't have to be meals in the town where your rental properties are located. It can be meals out with your significant other who might be a partner in your limited liability company, your LLC. So for instance, we've done a whole video, we've done a whole podcast episode about how to write off your business expenses as a family. You'll definitely want to check out that episode because Natalie and I talked about in that episode going out to dinner. We'll do date nights where we will go with a notebook. And we will plan out our next round of real estate purchases. We will deep dive this stuff. And you don't have to be shy about it. I mean, yes, we have a great time. We go, we have a glass of wine. We're joking, talking about the family and other things. But we are going to get down and talk to some business. We'll do a lot of lunch dates that way, where we're planning something. Okay, we want to pick up this next round of five properties. We want to do this. We want to do that. Or we're going to talk with the bookkeeper. And we have sort of an agenda. And we'll sit down as business partners in our business. And then that meal becomes a business expense for our company. And again, once again, offsetting the income that we're getting from rent from our tenants. So meals, entertainment. It could be that you get together with a group of investors. We have a lot of local real estate clubs and meetings here in our backyard, and we'll often go to those and meet up with other investors. We'll meet attorneys there. We'll have drinks and cocktails and dinner at different real estate meetup groups. And we might be doing business with these people in the future. We never know. There's a lot of people I've met at local real estate meetup clubs, and I've done a ton of business with them. I've done so many deals with one woman who we met at, she's a title company agent. We met at a local real estate meeting here in New Jersey. I can't tell you how many deals, hundreds of thousands of dollars of deals we've done with her, thanks to meeting her and going out to these public meetings. So that is a write-off. The drinks, the $50 entrance fee to get into the real estate club that night, whatever it happens to be, again, that's all a write-off, and that comes off of your bottom line for the LLC that is in business of owning rental properties. Number six on the list is education. Now, I know a lot of people crap talk real estate courses, you know, they'll say gurus that want to charge you $5,000, $10,000 for real estate courses. I've spent thousands on courses in my life. And guess what? Those courses have made me millions of dollars. So if I could spend $1,500 or $5,000 on a course, I have made, as a result of that education, hundreds of thousands of dollars in return. Now, that course purchase is also a write-off for your company. So perhaps you signed up for a wholesaling course, right? You've seen me and my mentor, Tom Kroll. If you signed up for his Wholesaling Inc. team, and we'll have a link right here in the show, you can check out my interview with Tom. But working with Tom as my mentor, I spent, I think, about $5,000 to work with him up front. I made in my first year close to $300,000 off of studying his course. So would you trade $5,000 for nearly $300,000? Yes. But again, that is a write-off. So that $5,000 is education, is a write-off. In the same way that purchasing other services, like I'm a subscriber to lynda.com. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of it or not. It's Lynda. And if you're ever looking for, you know, how to learn how to use my computer better, or how to use a certain piece of software, there's all sorts of great courses that lynda.com has under their roof. How to be a better photographer. There's a whole bunch of courses that lynda.com, and I think it's like $12 a month or something like that. I pay for lynda.com, and I pay for it for my team on the Morris Invest team. But I use it. I like to go in there and learn how to use Slack better or other software. I used Adobe's Lightroom when I'm taking photos. I learned how to use that. So these are all, and I use those photos on our website, right? So this is all education. That is a write-off. Also, you can write off other things that are educational pieces for your business, like Netflix. You could be watching documentaries on real estate and finance inside of Netflix. It's not just kids shows and watching Stranger Things, although Stranger Things is pretty damn awesome. No, there's other reasons that you would use, you could write off Netflix. I'm thinking of so many different services that part of your internet in your home, of course, is an expense under that education piece. So if you see a documentary, you go to a documentary about wealth building, you go to a weekend seminar and you're spending money to stay in the hotel, whatever it happens to be around that education, that is a write-off. I'm a subscriber to the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal, that is a write-off. Why? Because it's education for real estate. Do you know how much real estate news I follow and track inside of the Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times, and others? And of course, I broadcast them right here on the show. But you as a real estate investor, if you subscribe to the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times, it doesn't matter, Barron's for crying out loud, that is a write-off for your business, that $150 a year or whatever the cost might be. Next on the list is paying your children. Now, I've done a whole episode, Natalie and I have done a whole episode about how to pay your children as employees and therefore offsetting the income that your tenants are paying you. It's a killer strategy that I hope you guys will dive deep into. It could be a whole episode. It's a whole hour long show. So you've got to check that out. We'll link that right up here. So please go check that out, how to pay your children to work for you. Remember, they are being taxed in a lower tax bracket. So paying your children to work for you in the office, whether it's putting on stamps on envelopes, whether it's shredding, you know, your piles of paper that you don't need anymore with your personal statements, whether it's organizing and cleaning your office, whether it could be delivering postcards around the neighborhood. Again, those types of things, licking envelopes, it has to be reasonable, and we break it all down in that particular episode. But again, paying your children, and when you're paying them, they're being taxed in a lower tax bracket, but the cost of paying their children is now offsetting the income from your tenants. Once again, another killer way to prevent you from having to pay a lot in taxes. Number seven. Your home office. Your home office is another killer way of offsetting the income. So setting up a home office. Now, there are some rules, of course, under the IRS guidelines, and you can find this all on the IRS's website. But having a door that closes is one way to make sure that you have a home office. Do you have internet in this home office? Are you buying a computer for your home office where you're doing all of your work? Yes. Purchasing computers, purchasing this microphone that I'm speaking to you on, purchasing the whiteboard that has all of my business ideas on there, the filing cabinet, the fax machine. Do people still use fax machines? I don't know. The calculator for your office, the toner for your printer, all of those things are a write-off and, again, offset the income. So setting up that home office where you and your spouse are going to sit down and look at your 15 to 20 rental properties. You're looking at your spreadsheet, you're going to have a meeting in this home office. This is where you're doing a lot of work in order to help you build wealth for real estate. And number eight, and again, these are just eight. There's so many more, and I've kind of rattled off a few ideas, right? Netflix and newspapers and additional things. Those were little bonuses. But number eight is the management fee. If you're paying a property management company, and I hope that you are, a 10% fee for the property management is pretty typical. A 10% monthly fee would come out of your monthly rent. That will be also considered a tax deduction. So on your federal return, 10% management fee is, of course, an expense. So is insurance. That's another bonus for you, right? Insurance on your rental property. But that 10% a month, you're thinking to yourself, okay, this property rents for $800 a month. the property management company is taking $80 of that. Okay, great. So now I have to, that $80 is now a tax deduction and I can write it off of my taxes. And you basically get a portion of that back to offset the income from your tenants that are paying in. So with all of those things, again, this comes back to the main thing, which is gross rental income minus your business deductions. Okay, follow me here. So here's the formula. Gross rental income minus your business deductions equals your net rental income. Follow those three things. So again, your rental income minus those business deductions that we talked about here, those 8, 10, 12 that I even threw out there, gives you your net rental income. So our net return is what we're going for, our net return. And if you can build up enough of those business deductions, it'll be offset and you're not going to be showing nearly any income at all from the tenants coming into this property and coming into your wallet. Does that make sense? I hope it does, because again, to come back to Tom's main point, if you're a real estate investor and you're paying taxes, you are doing it wrong. There are just a few of the deductions I wanted to talk about today. I hope you found this helpful. We've got a ton of great info here on the channel to help you, and that's the whole goal of this channel. So I want you to go out there and become a real estate investor and take action and really start on your journey to acquire your first rental property or your third rental property or your fifth rental property. We work with, at my company at Morris Invest, we have clients who come to us for the first time that say, you know, I want to buy one rental property from you guys. Great. I've got guys that have 15 properties and they want to buy 10 all at once. You know, it doesn't really matter where you are on your journey. Just the fact that you are starting and you're starting to take advantage of all of these great tips and strategies that we talk about here on the show. We publish this show 3 times a week. We'll see you back here again with another episode coming up this week. And thank you so much for going out there, taking action, becoming a real estate investor. It's the best way to build wealth in this country. We'll see you next time, everyone.